Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It was a Monday. Oh, was it a Monday? For a lot of reasons. I don't know about you, but this Monday was extremely emotional on a bunch of different wavelengths. And so I can think even now as we get ready to launch into our four-hour radio show of various storylines that have to do with the emotion. Emotion from playing a game, emotion from cheering for a game or following a specific team in a specific game. The emotions that come along with trying to process yet another tragedy in this world that we live in. And so it was an emotional Monday for a bunch of reasons. And it's one of those nights where, in my opinion anyway, sports kind of take a back seat. They won't for the entire time. But certainly when you think about what happened in Toronto this afternoon, and then think about the hockey game and the way that the Maple Leafs honored their city and the victims and their families. I thought that was extremely emotional, but also very special. And so we will start there, even as we dive into another busy night on the court, on the ice, the postseason. A lot of storylines to get to. The NFL draft creeps ever closer. Giancarlo Stanton has finally a night that maybe can give him a little bit of relief and some hope that the worst is behind him. But I definitely want to start with the city of Toronto. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. And you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. In addition to that, we have our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And soon we'll put up our Twitter Tuesday question, and I'll throw that Twitter Tuesday question out to you. And as always, our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I don't believe in coincidence, actually, so I don't think it was a coincidence that there was a hockey game in Toronto on a night when so many in the city are hurting. And I'm glad. I'm glad for a few moments, maybe for a couple of hours. I know there's always tension involved in a tight hockey game, but that many residents of Toronto had a bit of joy in the midst of tragedy. And so, of course, a lot of you have heard about what happened this afternoon on Yonge Street in Toronto. And I have to say, as I was watching some of the video and seeing some of the law enforcement press conferences and just kind of hearing what witnesses had to say, what kept coming to my mind is how long this winter seem to stretch and how much I just want to be outside now whenever it's sunny. And so I feel like I could put myself in the spot of those Toronto residents who at midday were just outside going from place to place or maybe just standing there taking in the sunshine. Because I feel like over the last week and a half or so, as spring has finally sprung in my neighborhood anyway, and in major parts of the Northeast, it had been such a long time coming. I just want to be outside and soak in that spring sunshine as often as possible. And so from that perspective, I felt like I could identify with those people who were outside on Yonge Street in Toronto. And who worries about a van plowing onto a sidewalk and into a crowd of people on purpose? And so I just saw this, actually, that there was a 10th victim who's now died following this tragedy. So 10 pedestrians dead and 15 injured on Monday. And then even as they apprehended the driver and as law enforcement is working to figure out why and how this happened, and as victims' families are coming to terms with just a complete and total change in their entire lives, so many lives affected, so many more who are in the hospital, here comes this hockey game. And you know, I say to you all the time that sports don't matter in the face of real life, life or death. Sports isn't anywhere close to life or death. It's not even important. But on days like this one, for a city that's going through such a painful tragedy that affected so many people, it always seems like sports are this one area that kind of bring us together. Because we don't have to agree on politics, and we don't have to come from the same neighborhoods, and we don't have to be the same colors. But when we cheer for the same teams in the same cities and same regions, it's this umbrella, kind of this force field that brings us all together. And so an incredible atmosphere both inside and outside the arena where the Maple Leafs were hosting the Boston Bruins for game 6 of their first round Eastern Conference playoff series. And as you can imagine, before they dropped the puck, the Maple Leafs wanted to take a moment and to remind fans what was most important. And so they darkened the entire arena, and they had images of the city itself up on the video board. And then the PA announcer himself comes over the loudspeaker that was piped into the house and asked everyone to remove their hats and spoke about the tragedy briefly and said, all of Toronto is with you, the victims, the families, the first responders, everyone who was affected. And then Maple Leafs defenseman Ron Hainsey actually addressed the crowd himself in a message that had been taped.
On behalf of myself and my teammates, I'd like to extend our deepest sorrow and thoughts to all the victims, the victims' families, the men and women first on the scene, the brave men and women first on the scene who do so much to keep everybody safe. Thank you so much. And, hold your loved ones tight. Give them an extra kiss tonight. I know I will, because you just never know anymore. As for tonight, we're going to play our heart out for this city. Great fans here. Hopefully in doing that, we'll make it to a game 7 Wednesday in Boston.
So that was his message pregame to the fans inside the arena. And then I saw an interview, I think it was at the second intermission, with Mitch Marner. This was on NBC Sports Network, which was carrying the game. And Mitch said, a lot of us found out when we woke up from our pregame naps. So early afternoon, focused on hockey, thinking about, once again, avoiding elimination, trying to force this game 7 back to Boston. And this was the news that we woke up to. And I'm sure many of you can identify with that. I certainly can, because I wake up every afternoon during the week. And one of the first things I do is check my phone to see what kind of news I've missed. And today, of course, it was news that no one ever wants to see or read about. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So they play game 6 with this shadow, with this emotion. And certainly the players would love to be able to honor their city and honor these people with a victory. But the fans, too, inside the arena, there's no way you forget about it, even if you are cheering, even if you are excited and able to lose yourself a little bit. And sure, there was all the tension of a hockey game put into perspective with what had happened earlier that day outside. And I'm not sure that there could have been any other outcome. I know for me, I was rooting hard for not just the Maple Leafs themselves, but for the city of Toronto.
It comes around to the far side. Hainsey keeps it in, tried to get it in front of the net, a backhand scores! Mitchell Marner! And the Maple Leafs are not going to have a goalie interference on this one. 2-1 Toronto! There goes Rask to the bench. Empty net. Leafs get it out in center. To the line. Here's Plekanec. Scores! We're going to Boston, baby!
Joe Bowen with a couple of the calls there on the Maple Leafs radio network. Man, that third period felt like a stalemate for a good portion of about the first 10 minutes of the third period. The shots on goal were really hard to come by. And at that point, Toronto had the lead and felt like just challenging every possession of the puck for the Bruins, clogging the middle, making sure that there was no one Bruin who ever had any space to create anything. And so it was difficult. Puck possession itself was difficult in this game for Boston. Definitely Tuukka Rask rebounded from a difficult game five. But the rest of the team, they kind of had a letdown. But again, in the big picture, in the face of everything that happened in Toronto, I'm glad. I'm not sure there should have been and could have been any other outcome. And of course, I love game sevens, but that doesn't even matter. With so many people hurting in Toronto right now, I'm really hoping that this hockey team has given them a bit of joy in the midst of this tragedy on Monday. And afterwards, as much as you want to hear what they say about game seven and about this excitement, and I mean, what else is there that's better than a winner take all affair, a winner take all battle in a playoff series, especially when you're talking about two teams that have an established rivalry and are part of the original six. But for me, I wanted to hear what they had to say about what had happened earlier and how that affected the team overall. And Coach Mike Babcock took a couple of seconds to address that.
Our thoughts and prayers are with the families of the people that lost their lives today and all the people that are injured. Senseless deaths, to say the least. Changes the new normal in a family's life forever. Whether it be no mom, no dad, no brother, no sister, or whatever it may be. You know, obviously, we're fortunate to live in such a fantastic city with great first responders and the work they've done. But it's so important that we rally around these people, help out, and do everything we can. We got a fantastic city. We can't let this get in the way of what we got going. Tragic, to say the least.
I appreciate what Mike Babcock has to say about a new normal. Yeah, it constantly changes. In our world in 2018, I'm not sure that there's any such thing as a normal, but whatever these families felt like was normal for them changed drastically on Monday. And if there is a city that can understand, it certainly is Boston. And I'm speaking specifically about understanding hockey in this particular context that's so similar, because it was 5 years ago when the Bruins and Leafs were engaged in the first round of the Stanley Cup postseason, 2 weeks after the Marathon bombing. And so many Bruins fans, Leafs fans, will remember that. And Patrice Bergeron made reference to it afterwards and said the city of Boston is behind the city of Toronto right now. So an emotional day and an emotional night for Torontonians, Maple Leafs fans, maybe not all of them, but you got to think that on Monday, with so many thousands of people inside the arena and outside the arena, with so much of this emotion, that most of the country was behind the Maple Leafs and just pulling for there to be this outcome, but also this moment where they could all watch and come together. And that's my favorite thing about sports. We talk about the outcomes. We talk about the wins and losses. We talk about all the different things that affect athletes and fans. But top of the list for me is how sports have a power to heal, even if it's just a little bit. And that happened on Monday in Toronto. All right, so you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I've heard from a lot of you who are Maple Leafs fans or a lot of you who are residents of Toronto. I know that we have an affiliate there, Fan 590. We get a lot of people who tune in on a regular basis. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight. We'll do our best to provide a little bit of a distraction. Usually I'm good at that. And then we've got some other emotional, in a very different way, emotional games and atmospheres around hoops and around another hockey game, too, that was taking place about the same time. I think it puck dropped a little bit later, but they were close. They were close to ending around the same time. So come Tuesday, believe it or not, no hockey games. It's the first time since the postseason began that there won't be any action on the ice. So night that's dark in the NHL, though Hoops is happy to step in, but that's coming up tomorrow. All right, so we'll take our first break, and then we'll get back to more of the hoops and hockey from the postseason. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm not sure if this is the end of the Oklahoma City Thunder as we know it, but man, the writing may be on the wall. You know that you never want to count your chickens before they hatch in sports, especially in sports. So it feels like the improbable and the unlikely, sometimes what people think is impossible happens on a fairly regular basis. And in the case of the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are now in a 3-1 hole against the Utah Jazz, that's actually not such a rare occurrence that we've never seen it, haven't seen it recently. I mean, I think the stat is 11 times in the course of the NBA postseason, NBA playoff history, has a team come back from a 3-1 deficit. Please don't quote me, but it's happened more than once, okay?
You know, so, a statistician.
That I am not, but I do like my nerd alerts. And so with the Thunder being down, yes, they have created for themselves a very large chasm out of which it will be difficult to climb, but not impossible. Watching them on Monday night, though, made me feel like the ticking time bomb is going off. Just watch them dissolve before our eyes into a big mess. And when I tweeted that, people write back with things like, oh, it's Carmelo Anthony, la, 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 la. I mean, honestly, I felt like Carmelo Anthony was about the most professional guy on the court.
Who, me?
On Monday night. The problem wasn't the basketball necessarily, though still, you can look at these Thunder and recognize that they at times are extremely disjointed on offense, even with three all-stars, three guys who are perennial all-stars. I know Carmelo wasn't this year. Really, my point is just that you've got some guys who can score. Steven Adams himself can do the double-double thing as well and is pretty fierce in the postseason. But they don't look like they're on the same page. And on Monday night, way too hyped up, Russell Westbrook, even more aggressive and fierce than usual, to his detriment, I think.
Now, where you been at?
He had 23 points and 14 rebounds. But it felt like he had his own agenda as well. And against a team like the Jazz, who I think are more on the same page and also don't have nearly as much to lose, right? I mean, this is a team that a lot of people pointed to after they lost Gordon Hayward and kind of threw some other pieces together like a Ricky Rubio. Just okay, that they're in a bit of a hole, a bit of a ditch. It's going to take a little time to recover from losing a franchise guy like Hayward. And yet, Donovan Mitchell has been amazing this season as a rookie. Rubio has had a resurgence to his career. Gobert, maybe defensive player of the year. The Joe Ingles portion of this is fantastic because you could put Joe Ingles in a lineup and a lot of people wouldn't have any idea that he's an NBA player. And that's great. He's making the most of his opportunity. He's been in the NBA for a few years, but it's already 30 years old. So we're not talking about your typical road to professional basketball. And yet here they are with the coaching of Quinn Snyder, and they've got a 3-1 lead on the Thunder in their first round playoff series. And while the Russell Westbrook-led Thunder seemed like they were losing their tempers and the emotion was controlling them instead of the opposite, them channeling that emotion and using it to their benefit. Instead, it seemed like it blew up. The third quarter, where for the second straight game, the Jazz come out of the locker room like a house on fire. And the only way that Westbrook seemed to respond was to grab guys, to yank guys around, to go hard and tempers flare. And there were more technicals in this game than any other NBA postseason game since 2013. I think it was Bulls and Heat. It was the last time there were this many technical fouls. There were ejections. Just, it was a mess. And yet, the Jazz are able to put 113 points on the board and take a 3-1 lead. And as I was thinking about it, and we'll talk more about the specifics of the game. No, Ricky Rubio did not have a triple-double, but he still had a pretty good game. As I was thinking about it, I was kind of jumping the shark a little bit. And again, you don't want to count your sharks before they hatch. But I was thinking about Russell Westbrook, who has decided that he will go ahead and test the free agent waters. Now, there's still a chance he could return to Oklahoma City, but after so many of his contemporaries have been wooed and have gotten these fat contracts and have, seen whether or not the grass is greener somewhere else, and with the idea that Paul George may not stick around. Now, Melo, I guess, could or could not stick around, but when you have a $28 million player option, it seems like that would be the right thing to do if you want to have your kids and your kids' kids and your kids' kids' kids set for life. I don't know, Jay, what do you think? If the Oklahoma City Thunder are gone after the first round, despite, and I know they lost Andre Robertson, but despite the pieces that they brought in for the express purpose of getting farther than they did a year ago, would you stick around if you were Russ?
No, I would not.
It could be another franchise-changing offseason for the Thunder.
Exactly. I think he can go to many places and win. I don't think he can win in Oklahoma City.
I don't want nobody to try to split us up.
I mean, he's the reigning MVP, but you know what? KD won an MVP before he left, too.
You know what the problem with the
they haven't gotten any closer.
Thunder is Carmelo.
See, I disagree with you, but I certainly understand what people think so, and it's fine.
He's just not a winning player. Doesn't mean he's not a great scorer. He's just not a winning player.
All right, well, it's still a team game, in my opinion. So I don't think he's having any greater impact on the Thunder than is Russ. I mean, Russ and PG, playoff P, still have a greater impact on this team. I don't know what it is. I feel like they've actually gotten less cohesive than they were maybe a year ago when it was just Russ and his minions.
Imagine Melo there without either of them. They're both gone, and Melo's just left there with his $28 million option.
Maybe he won't take the player option. I mean, there's always a chance that he won't. Just it seems like $28 million is a lot to pass up.
I agree.
Especially if it's in your contract and all you have to do is sign on the dotted line and opt in. All right, so we'll talk more about what the Jazz did, not so much the Thunder perspective, but I'd love to hear from you. That's our Twitter Tuesday question as we say – sayonara Monday and go into a Tuesday. If you're Russell Westbrook, what would you do? Would you stick? Where would you go? I mean, there will be options. I guess we don't necessarily know the options. And also coming up, 50 is the new 40.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
8 seconds on the shot clock. Jazz by 14. 2:10 to play. Arena comes to their feet. Donovan rises for three. Ball game. 33 for Donovan.
Taking it game by game. We're not really getting caught up in the big picture. And just focusing it on game by game. And, you know, my teammates have helped me out a lot as far as that goes. But we're playing together. You know, big thing that goes unnoticed, Royce had 10-9 today. You know, played great defense. Joe had 20. You know, it's even throughout everybody. And I'm really proud of the team.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Utah Jazz now have a 3-1 lead after taking game number 4 against the Oklahoma City Thunder, one win away from moving on to the second round of the NBA playoffs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. You hear the Jazz Radio Network, and then the Uber rookie, Donovan Mitchell, who had 33, setting a new franchise record for a playoff game by a rookie. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Pleased to welcome now the host of the pre- and the post-game on the Jazz Radio Network, Thurl Bailey. And Thurl, I heard you some on the broadcast tonight. I happened to listen to almost the entire Jazz Radio broadcast and heard you pop in there a couple of times. How wild was it inside the arena with everything that was happening?
Amy, it is just so electric. It's so crazy here. And listen, I had a chance to play a lot of my career here. And I played, every year I played, we made the playoffs. And you understand how special it is when you're a player, but when you're on the other side of that and you're a fan and you're sitting in the stands, it is just an amazing thing. And we get comments from other, you know, media people and other teams that say that they haven't been in an arena that has been this loud or this electric that has affected, you know, teams so much. So there's something special going on here with Jazz Nation, and it really came out in full force tonight.
What is it, Thurl? What is special about what's happening with these Jazz right now?
Well, I think it's the journey, Amy. I think it really is the journey. I mean, and you go back to where, you know, Gordon Hayward made his decision to move on. And, you know, Jazz Nation is looking and saying, well, what are we going to do now? The team's kind of in disarray. And, you know, we got this rookie who, you know, he's pretty good, but how good is he really? And at the same time, everybody understands and trusts what Dennis Lindsay has done with this team, but you really don't know until you actually see it. And Donovan Mitchell is just a special player. And I don't mean just special in the sense that he's a great basketball player, but the way he's handling, we can't even call him a rookie anymore, the way he's handling himself on the court, you know, what he's saying, and he's absorbing from the veterans. The Jazz have been through a journey now that, you know, they've been through the tough part of it. And this is really the culmination of them sticking together, believing in Quinn Snyder's system. And it's a beautiful thing to watch.
There are a lot of guys who are in their first year there, or maybe not even a full year in the case of, say, a Jay Crowder at the trade deadline. But you mentioned Donovan, who's a rookie. Also, Ricky Rubio, kind of a resurgence to his career after what happened in Minnesota. From your time in the NBA, of course, you know that chemistry is an ethereal thing. How come it works with this group and so quickly?
Well, like anything else, like any corporation, like any business, any team, it has to start from the top down. And it's not easy, Amy, as you know, to have a coach sell something to players that's different a lot of times from what the perception of what this league should be. And it hasn't changed. You know, if you are doing something and it doesn't work, it's not working consistently, a lot of coaches would change it. But not Coach Quinn Snyder. You know, he really got these guys to believe in the system. It's a defensive-minded team first, and the ball needs to move, and every player has a role. I mean, you might get a DNP CD one game, and you might start the next, and it's about next man up, and these guys have bought into it. They went through a rough December, mm-hmm. Kind of into January. But, you know, they're reaping the rewards now.
He's a longtime NBA big man, Thurl Bailey, now part of the Jazz pre and post. And I heard him on the radio broadcast during the game as the Jazz took out the Thunder and go up 3-1. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned kind of the subversion of egos, so to speak, where guys are willing to go from not playing to starting and maybe a different role. How unique is that from your time in the league? How unique is it to have a group that doesn't worry as much about their own stats and about their own individual play?
It's very, when you're talking about some very high-paid athletes, and all of, you know, even when I played, everybody has an ego. Everybody wants to be successful. But these guys are willing to do it in a way that everybody is successful. You know, Jerry Sloan was that type of coach because he was a tough player himself. There was an identity about our team, and there's an identity about this team that is it's incredible. And when you see it from the surface, and then you go kind of go behind the scenes, and you see how well these guys get along and how they sacrifice for each other, it's really refreshing in this day and age of basketball. We saw tonight the Jazz get punched early with a physical game, mm-hmm. and how they responded. So, you know, it's going to be interesting this next game in the OKC tomorrow, I guess you could say now, to see how the Jazz come out.
When it is that kind of a game where clearly it looked like the Thunder, especially Russell Westbrook, were kind of letting the emotions run rampant and, you know, a little bit out of control, a little bit wild, what would you say to a team in the huddle to help them maintain their composure and not react to that?
Well, I think that starts before the game. I mean, I think it starts with Quinn Snyder. Every interview, no matter how well the Jazz do, he gives them credit. But he always talks about, you know, we got to stay on an even keel. We haven't really accomplished a lot yet. We're trying to get to, you know, we're trying to get through the playoffs as far as we can go. And that really trickles down to the team. And they talk the same talk. But at the same time, they got each other's back. I mean, the Jazz have a way of getting under other teams' skin in a different way. You got the best rim protector in the league.
Right.
You got one of the best three-point shooters in the league in Joe Ingles, who in himself can get under your skin with a look. I mean, I watched him and Paul George go at it tonight. And, you know, I think that Joe Ingles got to Paul, to PG-13 a little bit. And so, you know, when you don't get out of hand, you let the team throw that punch, but you make sure that, and I think the official did a good job of really keeping it under wraps as well. But the Jazz just they're a very patient team. And so if you go on a run against them, they're patient enough to say, oh, we're okay. We're not going to go crazy here, but we're going to play our game and we'll be back in this one.
I feel like the stretch that really propelled the Jazz started actually before halftime, when you had Joe Ingles nailing back-to-back-to-back three-pointers to put Utah in front, and then the Jazz come out of that halftime locker room and kind of pick up where they left off. I think one of my favorite things, and I've said this on the air a couple times in jest, is that there are probably a lot of people that could look at Joe Ingles, cross him on, you know, on the sidewalk, and not have any idea that he is an NBA player. I mean, he just looks like every man, which is part of the story.
He's a baller. Joe Ingles is a baller. I mean, you just love the fact that, because a lot of people thought when Jazz first brought him here, well, you know, he's here to make Dante Exum feel at home and comfortable. And no, I mean, this man can play basketball. And he doesn't necessarily play with speed. He plays with a high basketball IQ. And, you know, you talked about those three threes he hit in a row. He missed the first four. And so to have a guy, you know, from down under who's laid back and just comes in and plays with the flow of the game and doesn't try to go outside himself, it's just a special thing for this team.
Thurl Bailey from Salt Lake City with us here After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. So I'm going to ask you to be honest here. Would you say that the Jazz are a bit ahead of schedule, or that this is what they expected for themselves?
Well, you know, I think for outsiders, they're ahead of schedule. I think you have to give, when you look at this OKC team, and you have the reigning MVP on that team, you have to say that it's going to be a tough series because you know what Westbrook can bring when he's at his best. I don't think OKC started the season. I think they started the season out trying to find themselves, and then they kind of got on this roll and kind of figured some things out. But they're always dangerous. This series isn't over, and I think the Jazz are really thinking that way too. But, I think the Jazz are a bit ahead of schedule. I don't think anybody really expected the Jazz to come and win three in a row against this OKC team. But, they have the mentality that the work is not finished yet, and they're going to go into OKC to try not to come back to Salt Lake City with them again.
Mm. And maybe we should have seen it coming, considering the surge they were on late regular season to even get to the point where they were competing for one of those higher seeds in the West. Thurl, as I let you go, I just discovered as I was looking at your bio, you and I have the same birthday. I feel so honored.
Oh, yeah? Oh, man.
I don't know that I've ever had a guest that I realized we had the same birthday on April 7th. So
well,
that's
I'm
cool.
Way, way, way older than you. That's one thing for sure.
Well, that's all right. You had a really distinguished career as an NBA forward, and it's good to catch a couple of minutes with you. Thank you so much. I hope that you enjoyed yourself tonight.
Anytime, Amy. Thank you so much. You do a great job.
Thank you. Yeah. How about that? I have the same birthday as a former NBA player. Yes, Thurl Bailey did spend most of his career in the league with the Utah Jazz. Also some time with Minnesota and then a few years overseas before he ended up finishing with one last season in the NBA. But had a career that stretched from the NBA draft in 1983, where he was the 7th pick overall to the Jazz, and then didn't wrap up until the late 90s, so just before the turn of the century. I mean, that's talk about longevity. And for a good portion of that career, he played almost every game in the NBA slate, and takes a lot. Takes not only smarts, but also certainly attention to your health and. And so it's good to talk to, I love to talk to guys from the 80s because that's when I fell in love with hoops. So last night on the show, we had Quinn Buckner, who I remember as part of the Boston Celtics winning a championship in 84 and now get to talk to Thurl, who has the same birthday as me. Or I have the same birthday as him, actually feels like the right way to say it. That's fun. I'm glad I found that out before we got him off the phone. Yeah, the Jazz have set themselves up well. But to hear Thurl admit, yeah, I think they are a little bit ahead of schedule. I stamp that. I absolutely agree with that. Think about the change that this team has gone through. And the last offseason, what was the question? Well, what are they going to put around Rudy Gobert? Now that Gordon Hayward is gone, it's Rudy Gobert who's your centerpiece. But Ricky Rubio, is that going to work? And then Jay Crowder comes in and brings some attitude. And, of course, it's been an incredible first season for Donovan Mitchell. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. With a quick way you can save money, switch to GEICO. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at GEICO.com. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.